This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Kellogg's. Today, it's a widely known breakfast foods company encompassing products like Rice Krispies, Eggo Waffles, and Nutrigain bars. But the man behind this now staid brand and the inventor of Kellogg's signature Corn Flakes was himself a fascinating figure, the eccentric nutritionist John Harvey Kellogg. In 1868, Kellogg, a devout Seventh-day Adventist, opened the Battle Creek Sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan. Unlike the common usage of the term sanitarium today, his was a health spa for the nation's elite in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Among the practices advocated by Kellogg at his retreat included frequent water enemas to flush out and restore bacteria, followed by the consumption of yogurt, both orally and rectally. He also preached about the health benefits of sexual abstinence, a sort of predecessor to the no-fat movement. These sorts of oddities led to Kellogg and his sanitarium later being mocked as wacko, most famously in T.C. Boyle's comedic novel The Road to Wellville, later adapted into a film. But some of Kellogg's less bizarre practices strongly influenced his thinking in American health, the benefits of regular bathing and aerobic exercise, and the hygienic value of medical circumcision, which, for better or worse, became widely practiced in the United States. And Kellogg was also a strong advocate of a vegetarian diet, both for health and sustainability reasons, and personally developed a number of plant-based meat substitutes. While the use of fake meat, primarily tofu, dates back to the Buddhist traditions of China's Han Dynasty, Kellogg introduced this concept to the westernized diet of Americans. Over the 20th century, meatless versions of American dishes, such as veggie burgers and tofurkey, gradually became mainstream, and as food science iterated, fake meat increasingly approximated the real thing. In 2009, the Beyond Meat Company was founded, and its pseudo-beef and chicken were heralded for accurately simulating the taste and texture of animal protein, reflected in the company's explosive growth. And in 2018, Beyond partnered with the fifth-largest Mexican-American chain to create veggie and vegan versions of its tacos and burritos. These Beyond Meat-based menu items went live in all of the chain's locations earlier this year, and, as of this episode's release, Beyond's biggest competitor, Impossible Meat, will have taken its plant-based burgers nationwide with Burger King. So while the sexual abstinence and yogurt enemas of John Harvey Kellogg may have receded to the fringe, Kellogg's innovation in meat substitutes, like his breakfast cereals, have become another part of how Americans eat. This week on Doughboys, we return to Del Taco to sample its Beyond menu.
Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants.
Are you acting?
I'm Nick Weiger, alongside my co-host, Cobbs and Slaw, the artist formerly known as Spoon, Mike Mitchell.
Was that a roast in there?
Yeah, Cobbs and Slaw. Like Hobbs and Shaw, but Cobbs and Slaw.
Like Cobbs of corn?
Or Cobb salad.
And
Slaw, like coleslaw.
Okay.
It was fine. I liked it. Michael fine. Jonathan Smith, roastspoonman@gmail.com. Michael sent that in. Thanks, Michael.
The movie wasn't as good as I hoped.
Mm.
Ooh. The movie wasn't.
What did you do?
I just turned a little thing and it went berserker.
I felt like I got a static shock, like I'd done something wrong.
No, I mean, I wish that I could shock you.
Like that.
Like in Ghostbusters?
Like that Stanley Milgram experiment? Is that the one?
Yes.
Where they would always, they'd like shock. Is that what the one I'm thinking of? Or was that the prison experiment?
I'd like to get any sort of reaction out of you. Like how many times I'd have to shock you.
Ow. Ow.
Please stop, buddy.
Knock it off, buddy. Mitch, I was yawning up top because this is maybe the latest we've ever started to record.
I don't know if it's the latest.
It's after 9 p.m.
What do you want from me? It is my fault.
I want to be in pajamas right now.
Ugh. What type of pajamas?
Minion pajamas.
I know.
They got disgusting. It's like where, like being a minion. You got like the overalls and the yellow body.
And when you get aroused, like Kevin pops out of your fucking trousers.
He is the tallest.
Oh, cool.
Mitch, any summer flicks you've been enjoying?
I was working today, Nick.
I know you were working today. You had a shoot. You had a valid excuse for us starting so late. Your shoot went way long.
I'm so tired.
They needed you on set. You're a big Hollywood success.
Oh, Jesus.
You're a big Hollywood actor.
That's not the case. It's not just not true.
Someone fetch Mike Mitchell from his trailer. We need him on set. Anyone have eyes on Mitchell? I think he's 10-1.
You got a job, Nick, too.
I did get a job. I can't talk about it. But it's for a streaming service.
You can't
talk
about it?
No, it hasn't been announced yet.
Can you even say what company you're working for?
No, I can't.
Fuck. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Not a joke. Well, I'll tell it when you do finally.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
Tell it now. We'll edit it out, and then I'll just react, and we'll have the reaction.
Okay.
So that's a cum joke. You just made a cum joke. Okay. I just want to be clear on what joke you're making.
I'll make it again when the time comes.
Okay, okay, great. So everyone has that to look
forward
to.
Did you like the joke?
Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
I gotta do a drop.
Oh yeah, do your drop.
Who's your burn from? You didn't say.
Michael Jonathan Smith.
Oh, you did say.
I did say, yeah.
Did you? Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Roastspoonman@gmail.com if anyone wants to send him in.
All right,
I was gonna ask you about summer flicks, but we should keep it moving.
Oh, summer flicks?
Yeah.
I saw Hobbs and Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Team Diesel.
Team Diesel.
I'm on Team Diesel.
Wow, you think they need Vin? Franchise is afloat without Vin, adrift without Vin.
Look, if you investigate all this, there's like weird. There's like weird animosity between all of them. And The Rock kind of split off and did Hobbs and Shaw, and with what's his name? What's Shaw's name?
Statham.
Jason Statham. Who is cool? Statham's cool. But Vin Diesel was the guy behind these Fast and the Furious movies, and they got really good.
Yeah.
And they're like fun action movies.
Yeah.
And Hobbs and Shaw is like a different producer, I've heard, in like a lot of CG. Like, when you go and see a Fast and Furious movie now, you see, like, a crazy set piece that you're like, whoa, that kind of, like, this part looked real.
Sure.
And then you don't have that in Hobbs and Shaw, maybe, at all.
Yeah, they're using CG, but not in the way that the razzmatazz way a lot of these blockbusters do.
Yeah.
They're using it sparsely.
So I'm Team Diesel. I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I loved it.
I saw that, too. I also enjoyed it.
Favorite movie of the year. Uh-oh. Our two guests are looking at each other. Do you guys not like it? All right, we'll get to this.
I think for liking it, we're canceled. I think that's just what that looks
like. Is that what this is?
Yeah, we're canceled.
Now one guest is very scared and doesn't know.
All right, let's hear this drop.
All right, here we go.
I don't mind sweating with you. It feels like we're getting on a hot wild ride. Give me Frank's red hot on my pillow, and I want Scott's bonnets on my bonnet. I'm a heat seeker, I'm a heat seeker. Double up on someone, call you hottie. Wanna hurt both ends of my body. I'm a heat seeker, I'm a heat seeker. I'm bananas, I'm bananas too. I'm a heat.
I got that. It cuts off like that. He warned me.
Oh, okay.
Derek, I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Derek Lai? Derek Lai.
How's that spelled? I can't say.
L-A-I?
That's a good guess.
Hi, all. I was writing a song when the words heat seeker fell into the chorus pretty neatly, so I put together an alternate version of it for your dropping needs. If you'd like that, I can be found on Spotify under Derek Lai. Oh, yes, L-I-E. It's a
pronunciation. Go.
But it's, yeah, L-A-I is how it's spelled. Derek Lai. Thanks. Note to Mitch, it isn't meant to embarrass or be some kind of sonic punishment, so there's a 51-second version linked here that doesn't cut off so abruptly if you're up for it.
Thanks, no. Derek. That's a jam.
We weren't up for it, Derek. That's a jam of the summer right there.
That would be like a nice little groove, like a little R&B groove that you could kind of have like as a backdrop to some sort of romantic liaison, except for the lyric which talks about violently shitting out of your asshole after eating something spicy.
You're saying that that's a good romantic song?
I'm saying it could be with different lyrics. Okay. I wonder what his original version. I wonder what the lyrics are, because they're certainly not about having a painful asshole after you eat spicy food.
So neck kisser instead of heat seeker.
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah.
I'm a neck kisser. I'm a neck kisser. Oh, God, this is the least thing.
And nothing's coming out your butt. And if it is, then it won't hurt.
I'm a neck kisser. Not a butt wiper. No, this is very far from romantic.
Yeah, it's far from romantic.
Let's introduce our guests.
Oh, boy. What a duo we got with us. One's a regular. One's a first-timer. Our guests are super producers. They're the podcast Hollywood Handbook and our own Doughboys are to their credit. They are now turned hosts of their own show, Maybe Don't, which is available wherever you find podcasts. Chef Kevin Bartelt and Yu Song Liu. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for thank you so much for having us.
That was good.
Kevin's tired, too.
I liked it.
Everybody's acting around. Yu Song?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Doughboys Nights. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's fucking late. It's so late. You and I were both working today. We had early mornings, and now we got late nights. We're powering through it. These guys are powering through it, and Emma's over there. She's powering through it. We're all hanging.
Yu Song, do you get paid double today for as a producer and a guest?
Oh, in clout, certainly, and in exposure, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if you multiply zero times two? I'll have to do the math on that. I'll get my calculator later. So I want to start with one thing, which is that...
Yu Song, fucking sucker him in the face.
Hey, yeah, you might be able to do that math, but just wait until I beat you up.
These are the kind of jokes Jesus you can Christ. Look forward to on Maybe Don't. These kind of sick burns.
The thing you miss, though, with the audio experience is that you don't get to see Yu Song bury his head in his hands.
I would
like
say...
Like, he's just been convicted.
I would say that you didn't nail the landing.
No, he didn't quite.
But then also, I don't know. You missed the whole thing.
Yeah. Kevin, I wanted to ask you, your nickname, Chef Kevin.
Yes. Mm.
What is the etymology of that, and do you have any actual skills in the kitchen?
Yeah, is it like a Dr. Mario thing?
Yeah.
It is. I think, like, what's his... Is his just, he called himself Dr. Mario?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, he just sort of like a... Well, no, I think he went to medical school.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, or...
He fights germs.
Yeah, or
with
like...
pills.
Like, he's a pharmacist. He's maybe a pharmacist.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think he has an actual doctorate or some sort of degree.
Mine is from a Blue Apron ad where Sean and Hayes said... Here at Earwolf, you know, we cook together as a family every night.
Right.
We get all the staff involved. Kevin here, we call him Chef Kevin. He cooks every night for us. Here, Kevin, come tell us about some of the recipes. And then I was like, hey, guys, Chef Kevin here. And then so the following week, we had another Blue Apron ad. And they're like, we can't believe we're saying this, but we have Chef Kevin back here to help us with the ad.
Got it.
So then then on actual episodes that had nothing to do with the ads, they called me Chef Kevin. And it has stuck to this day.
Very cool.
Hey, Emma, can I just give you a little edit point? Can you bleep out Earwolf every time Kevin said it?
And edit out when Kevin talks.
No.
So do you, I get that that's a bit for an ad, but do you have any, do you live up to your name at all?
Not even to the slightest. I feel like I've gotten a little bit better once I moved to a new place with an actual nice kitchen, not like a kind of gross one bedroom that I was in that I didn't want to be around the kitchen.
Yes.
But I'm getting a little bit better now, I'm proud to say, but I think it's impressive, but anyone I'm like, hey, check this out. It's like, no, this is just a pizza from scratch.
Sure. That's pretty good.
That's so impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, hold on a second. So you started cooking because you did this at, and now you are getting better at it?
It's unrelated. I did feel a pressure because I often get asked, like, clearly you must be a pretty good cook. I'm like, oh, you'd be surprised. I'm not. But now that I'm in a new place with an actual kitchen, I'm like, I should live up to the name a little bit more. So now I'm getting better at trying to get better at actually cooking.
What was your setup? Were you in like a bachelor apartment with a hot plate, or what was it?
No, it was just like a one bedroom that had a very small kitchen.
Oh,
that
got it.
I
not a lot of counter
just
space.
Microwave a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And you've moved into Ackerman's house and stuff?
Yeah, and I now live with Scott and Kulop.
Oh, that's fun.
Uh-huh.
So how did you guys, you're working together now on this show. How did your collaboration begin, and why did you decide to embark on this mission?
I think we just wanted to, one, get to know each other, and two, immediately kill that friendship by deciding to work together on a podcast.
Our friendship started, or I guess just meeting each other on your podcast, worst case scenario.
Oh, yeah. Kevin was a guest on there, and it was a really popular episode, and then we started talking, and it took us literally 8 months and several iterations of a premise to come up with. It's a show with an opening segment and a closing segment.
Right. That's what it's come down to.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we went through a lot of like, oh, let's just write a whole improv thing. Let's... Have a bunch of, yeah.
But we have like several Pro Tool sessions with several different pilots that all kind of tanked halfway through.
Yeah.
That mixed with like severe anxiety, I think we just kept panicking.
Oh.
And then took a like six month break.
Right.
Became like actual friends, hung out a lot. And then a few months ago, we're like, hey, let's try this again.
Yeah.
With a more like, I don't want to say vague premise, but something that stick is more to like us, just yeah. having more actual conversations, but then cutting that in with like bits and like you playing piano and
yeah, bring
playing
my piano. Keyboard.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like a fun variety show. We have a lot of fun doing it. People seem to like it.
People seem to like it.
Yeah, hey, that's the biggest surprise.
Yeah
don't be so don't be so surprised, you song.
I still am with our podcast.
Wait,
I was just gonna say this is a natural podcaster's reaction. I'm like, what? You like this shit? All right, guess I'll do more of it.
I knew Doughboys was a fucking huge success. where can this podcast be found?
They can find it literally anywhere. You can find it on iTunes or Spotify or Google Play. This is the kindest, you know, thank you for the softballs.
I just want to say,
we're going to nail you to the wall in a bit.
What network are you with and how come, how come it's not with the Doughboys Podcasting Network?
It can be.
We
have a podcasting network?
Shut up.
Well, we just recorded Earwolf, but we're super independent.
Oh, very cool.
Super indie.
Yeah. Wait, you want to come over to my house, Yusan?
At 9:30?
Yeah, 9:30.
9:30 p.m. only.
No, it's super convenient to record at Earwolf. But then I don't make eye contact with anyone, and I don't speak to anyone.
Yeah, you look
down.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Got it. She's.
That's you and Nick are the same. Yeah. Anytime he goes into that building, too.
I was marking down a lot of edits for every time we say Earwolf. So one thing I know about your dietary habits, Kevin, is that you are a vegan. And Yusung, I know you eat pretty healthy as well. I mean, you both seem like naturally slender men. I mean, I don't mean like slender.
Not the slender man.
Mm-hmm. No, certainly not.
Magnitude's more friendly.
Slender man. Nobody kill your middle school classmate on Yusung or Kevin's behalf.
Yeah. Not kill, just stab.
Oh, I'm sorry,
times.
Just stab. Nobody stab your classmate. Do you guys?
Is that what all these millennials write as their college entrance essays? They write about the slender man.
Why I stabbed my classmate.
Anyways, go on. So, Slenderman.
But how long have you been a vegan and how has that affected your eating habits in general?
I've been vegan for 2.5 years.
Wow.
Coming up on 3.
Were you vegetarian before that?
I was vegetarian for 3 years before that. And I went vegetarian for more environmental/animal cruelty reasons.
Right.
But I still was eating like shit like all the time, like eating a lot of garbage. And then I went vegan for more health reasons. I still eat a lot of trash, but cutting dairy out, I think, was kind of the biggest difference dietary-wise.
Mitch's dishwasher is running. That's what you may have just heard on that.
I just got the light in Mitch's.
I push a button and
dishwasher
shoots water out. Yeah,
hits me in the head.
Now, I got a different question. As far as the tentacles you use in Slender Man form, what do those do exactly?
I think just scare people.
They scare people.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I know.
It's kind of a warning.
Grab the children or what the deal is.
Are they tentacles or just like spindly limbs?
He does have tentacles.
He does. Okay. I got a lot to learn about him.
There's an HBO doc on the Slender Man, on that whole stabbing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And people get horny for Slender Man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, why?
I can understand.
Yeah.
Because his frame.
I think he's tall. People like, yeah. He's tall people handsome. Like tall right, people. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He has a job. So what are your, like, you say you still eat some garbage. What is the garbage you eat as a vegan?
A lot of chips, a lot of barbecue chips, a lot of carbs. I feel like I've been gaining weight. So I've been going to a personal trainer, saw a nutritionist who didn't know anything really about veganism, which made it pretty difficult.
A nutritionist didn't know anything about veganism?
It was a nutritionist, to be fair.
Did you go to Dr. Mario?
I did go to Dr. Mario.
Mamma mia, eat more spaghetti.
Here's some pills for your germs. What?
This won't help. It was at LA Fitness, and it was just the fitness instructor there.
Oh, got it, okay.
And he was like, oh, I actually know a lot about nutrition. And then when it came to actually giving advice, he was like, So like, you probably want to try more proteins.
Yeah.
Wow. And I was like, oh, okay. Thank you.
Right. What proteins are you? Is it tofu? I mean, tofu is a big one when you're vegan, right?
And yeah. A lot of different nuts, and vegetables and protein shakes.
You can go PB, right? Peanut butter, almond butter.
I live on peanut butter. I love it so much.
Wow. Yeah.
But it has a lot of sugar though. So you have to be careful.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
Oh, you gotta be careful.
I eat a lot.
Are we, can we maybe,
I got the light.
We can close. We can close that door. I should have said to close
the
door
to the kitchen.
I was out of forks. I had to start that.
You didn't have to start the dishwasher right before.
Forks.
Well, you didn't have to start it right before we started recording. It feels very aggressive.
Maybe not.
Oh boy!
If it was full, I'd understand. But just for forks.
Boy, I hope this week's chain isn't out of forks because that would be bad news for it. In it, the review sets.
Oh man!
Jesus Christ!
Doughboy's nice.
Did you catch something from Yusan?
Oh boy.
He hung out with us for 15 minutes beforehand.
We did have a lovely time because we were waiting for you to rap, and I went over and met...
Okay, that sounds a little fucking passive-aggressive.
I met Yusong and... You were working. I met Yusong and Kevin at the... We started an hour later than scheduled, so we had some time to kill. So I went over and... We started 2 hours later. I hung out with Kevin and Yusong at the Starbucks Reserve, the place we gave one fork, because we had a really unsatisfactory time there tasting all of their very, very expensive... menu items, but I just got myself a regular hot tea, and it was just like a nice place to sit.
You know what? I like the mixed teas over there sometime. The like the iced tea, strawberry iced tea, or whatever.
Oh, sure.
When they had like the mixed, the shaken teas, I thought they had some good teas.
Yeah, that's fun.
Maybe we were too hard on that place.
No, actually, no, I think we were fine. Yeah.
I told Nick when he walked up, the barista was like, "Well, well, well." One of them did recognize Yusong though.
Yeah, one of them keeps complimenting my glasses, which is really nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Who? Really?
Whatever. It's pretty cool. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He gets complimented on his looks.
What he recognized you from what?
No, he just was like, "I like your glasses every time."
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's pretty nice.
But does he remember you, or does he just like comment on your glasses?
He was like, "Oh, I remember your glasses."
Oh, so he did specifically remember your glasses.
Yeah.
I would say, because you do have nice glasses, but I don't think they're particularly distinct.
Mm. No, I got these because, you know, I watch a lot of professional League of Legends, and the people that play in Korea wear these very circular glasses. So I'm
trying to look like Cloud9.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to look like SKT. I really wanted that look, and now I have it. So it's pretty good.
Very cool.
Emma, I got another edit point for you.
Move the earwolf once to this.
So you've been a vegan for a couple of years.
You were a glasses wearing guy at one point yourself.
Oh yeah, I was talking about this earlier with these guys. Oh, we're killing time at the Starbucks Reserve. I was a glasses wearer for many years. Mm-hmm. I was also a contacts guy, and then I got LASIK. I got myself LASIK surgery over 10 years ago, and now I got to get 20/20 in one eye, 20/17 in the other.
Nick, you told us about a crazy experience you had with an optometrist.
Oh, that's right. I don't think I've told this story on here before.
What? No, I don't know it. But also, I have a funny. Do you know the last time I went to the eye doctor was the day we got into a big fight?
Was it really
the Good Morning America fight?
Oh, that's right.
And I was so mad at you, and they dilated my pupils, and I couldn't text you,
right?
Because I couldn't see anything, and I also drove home.
Yeah, that kind of worked out for me.
But I called you, and I left a very sad, upset message with you.
I don't remember,
but I literally could. You don't remember, you piece of shit. But I remember like trying. I was so mad at you, and I was like trying to text you. I couldn't see anything. It was
okay,
awful. It was a nightmare.
I want to
hear
this
out
for me.
No, it didn't.
No, the fact that you couldn't text me angrily.
I mean, yes,
made my day mildly easier.
In quotes, it didn't work out for you. It was a bad decision, you fool.
That was,
you bought me a Cappy hat.
Weiger called your doctor, like, dilate his eyes.
We can't find him. God damn it.
Do you know, Yusong, can I call you? Can I say something about this?
Wait, that you called me?
I called Yusong, and you actually called me at one point.
Oh, yeah. I called you, and it was just a very, like, sincere, like, I can't see right now. Like, here's the situation.
And you know what he said, Nick?
What?
And I think this is, maybe I should be mad at you for this, Yusong, but you're like, look, I think Nick isn't right on this one.
Oh, wow. Shit.
But then I'm like, wait a minute. So see, he thinks Nick is right on every other one?
For this one?
Boy, yeah. This is a lose-lose situation for me. Oh, no.
I understand. He was trying, because I know what it's like to manage a difficult personality. He was placating you.
Oh,
so I understand.
You were the difficult one here.
Oh, boy.
You can't admit that still.
We settled this argument. No, I apologize for it. I apologize for my
behavior. You can't say you're wrong. You're a fucking nightmare.
I said
human.
I was wrong when I apologized. I was wrong about that.
All right, let's hear this optometrist.
Okay, so here's my story. So this is not related to
sorry,
LASIK.
Yusong.
This was before I got LASIK. I was getting a standard eye exam. I had a female optometrist who I'd been to a few times before. Uh-huh. So this was maybe third or fourth visit. So she's leaning in to give the exam. And she's doing, like, you know that thing that's like that, it's like one of those tools that you use to examine someone's eye, like, mm-hmm. up closely, like, with a light?
Yes.
She's, like, doing that exam. So she's, like, leaning in really closely, and she's, like, examining one of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And then she goes over to my other eye, and she's, like, inches away from my face. And while she's doing that, she goes, kiss me. Just
what
says
the
it.
Fuck?
Just
isn't
says
that
it.
Crazy?
Just
so
says
insane.
It very, very gently. Just like you know, like it barely escaped. The words barely escape her lips, and I just like freeze up. I just don't do anything because I'm just like, what the fuck is happening?
You froze up. You didn't kiss her. You fool.
Why would I have done that?
Because you. This is like Eminem. You fucking dropped the mic. This is your moment.
No. And so, and then.
Married at the time?
Well, I wasn't married, but yeah, I was. Me and Allie were dating. I would not have done anything.
How old were you?
I was like in my mid-20s. I was maybe like 24.
Natalie would have given you a pass. Like,
I get a hall pass for the optometrist? By the way, I think I mentioned this to you. That movie should have been called Cheat Day. That would have been a better title,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's a better title.
Yeah, because hall pass, it's like too ambiguous. Cheat Day, and then you isolate the action to one day. You get one day to cheat, guys, mm-hmm. and then there's more tension there.
Sure.
Anyway, I should have been hired to punch up that script 10 years ago. So I take no action. And she just goes on with the exam like normal. And I still don't know, did she actually, like, did she think she said it in her head and not realize she said it aloud? I suspect that maybe happened. Or is this her move and she does this to other male patients and it's maybe worked out for her in the past?
Fuck.
It's fucking insane. Anyway.
What? So where is the place?
My theory,
it was bizarre.
My theory was like, Weiger imagined it and he like leans in for a kiss and she's like, what are you doing?
That's very likely.
It was weird. So
she probably saw your lifeless eyes and thought you were like a sex doll.
LASIK for a sex doll.
That's crazy.
It was very weird. How did we get onto eye stuff?
Because we talked about Yusong's glasses.
Oh, right.
Do you know that I was a glasses boy? We always talked about this before.
I was too.
All of us were glasses boys.
But Kevin's got contacts now. You do not have contacts.
My
right?
eyes corrected themselves because I'm a superior being.
I think you just like you were just squinting to see, and then your eyes just locked in place like that.
I've said this on the podcast before that they thought that I had issues. They thought that I was slow.
Right.
This is true because I was reading. I couldn't read. I was holding the book really close to my face, and I couldn't read.
Yeah.
And then they were gonna put me in. Classes. They were gonna put me in kind of like the I don't know what the name of the
like special needs classes.
Special needs classes, mm-hmm. basically. And then one of the teachers was like, you should go get his eyes examined. And my mom was like, oh, okay. And then because it's like I was in kindergarten or something. And then I had like an extreme lazy eye, and I had to wear an eye patch for a full year.
Mm-hmm.
I wore a eye patch for a full year. Like I was almost blind in one eye.
Yeah.
And they thought I was going to lose sight in the eye. But I wore an eye patch for a year and then extremely thick glasses. And then the doctor was like, his eyes are going to correct themselves. The doctor said this. They're going to correct themselves, but then they're going to go the other way at one point.
Mm.
So I'm going to start like going blind at one point in my life.
But like not blind.
Not
like
blind.
But
my eyes were going to get really, I think, going to get weak. I had terrible vision.
That happens naturally.
Yeah.
But like they think the laziness migrated from your eye to your brain.
It's spreading. I have a
piece of shit.
When I was in high school, I went to my class counselor to take the you could, like, I don't know if you guys had this, but you could, like, volunteer to help the special needs classes. Like, yeah, you could take, like, special education, like art or special ed, gym class, and like, or bowling, and do different activities with them.
Yeah.
And I asked my counselor if I could, like, take those, volunteer in those classes, and she was like, oh, sweetie, you need to have, like, a disability to be in those classes.
She thought you were asking to be in them.
Oh, it's so weird.
I was like, no, I want to volunteer in them.
Yes, people are so...
And then she was like, let me help further your education.
So many adults in positions of power are just dumb.
Fucking
they're
stupid.
Just like idiots.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and you don't really later, it's just like, oh, that teacher I had was like a fucking dipshit. You know what the fuck they were talking about. They're just like a dumb adult who, like, that was the job they got, and then they just, like, stayed there
because of
institutional inertia.
It's like, oh, like, my podcast boss, they're, like, fucking stupid. That's
I had teachers, like, sleeping in class, like, put on movies and would, like, sleep in class and
stuff,
too. Like, it is pretty wild, the stuff that people get away with.
Do you, I have a manager like that.
I get so emotional.
I did an inside baseball joke that Weiger really liked.
I'm trying to guess.
Sorry, keep going.
I was just going to say, I get really emotional when I watch that.
Sorry, there you go. You had a hair in your glasses.
I didn't like that moment.
Nick just took an
he said,
hair
kiss
from my
me.
Yeah, I know.
Kiss me, you son.
I'm so distracted now. Not from, okay. I get really emotional when I watch, like, TED Talks about education. I don't know if you feel the same way, but yeah, I just feel like, you know, if our teachers are better. This has nothing to do with food or the podcast.
That's okay.
Education.
Wait, hold on. I thought there was more. I thought you were going to say more.
No, I just, like, I'll just, like, get really emotional in my room watching, like, TED Talks by really passionate teachers and be like, oh, that's, we all have this.
You had the Ithaca teachers, you saw.
Yeah, they were okay.
Yeah.
I had some really great teachers, and then some teachers that were like, man, we really taught ourselves at the end of that semester or that year.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think you would be, like, a good teacher? Like, if that was, like, if that had been your alternate career path?
I wanted to.
Emma's shaking her head no. I wanted to originally?
Yeah, my mom's a fourth grade teacher, too. And it's like so fucking like, the job never ends, basically. Yeah, like, you go home and grade papers all day.
Right.
The only benefit, I think, is, like, the summer. But then you have to kind of start prepping your class, like, a month before the first day of school.
Mm.
So it seems so exhausting.
Right.
I come from a family of teachers. Nick.
I'm aware of this.
Yeah. My mom was a teacher. My dad was a teacher. That's where they met. And then he went to law school in his 30s. And then my sister just became a principal of a
very
school.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Before she turned 40, which is very cool.
Do you want to hear something crazy? My grandpa was the gym teacher for my other grandpa.
Whoa.
Isn't that insane?
Whoa.
They're like 10 years apart.
Yeah.
And he was a, like, PE teacher. And then he became a principal. But my other grandpa was in the same school and had him as a teacher.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. If any other listeners have a story like that, # grandpa connection, let us know. Because I'm sure that's happened to other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, their grandparents met in the past, or # grandma connection.
That's such a weird. That's such a weird relation. Because, like,
it is very strange.
You're supposed to be like, our kids are getting married or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you're like, you were like the little dink that was running around my the gym when I was the. That's crazy.
It is very weird to think about that.
That grandpa is so fascinating too, because he had to, both him and my grandma had to marry someone who was 100% Italian. And my grandpa lived in Chicago. My grandma was in Ohio. The date was set up. He drove to, like, Toledo, Ohio to go on a date with her, to go on a date with my grandma's sister. My grandma opened up the door and was like, hi, how are you? My grandpa thought it was her because he'd never seen her before, and was like, hi, how's it going? Like, I'm so excited to go on this date with you. And she's like, oh, it's actually my sister. She's upstairs. So then he went on the date with the sister. They didn't really hit it off. And I think he just kind of flat out was like, is your sister available?
Wow.
And then
that's crazy.
She was like, yeah, I think you guys are probably a better fit. And then started dating my grandma.
And then the sister went on and started dating Dr. Mario.
Yes.
What a catch.
Yeah.
We got to go all Italian.
I know. So that's insane.
Yeah.
So wait, so you have one side of your family is fully Italian?
100%, yeah.
That's your
mom's side.
Your mom's side, okay.
Yeah. I kind of get you now.
Yeah.
Like the weird fucked up family you come from.
Things are starting to add up in your head.
What was the food like growing up in your family?
A lot of Italian, a lot of like spaghetti, lasagna, mozzarella, a lot of like pasta varieties,
right,
basically. And then that was mostly what we had for dinners. And then other stuff was like kind of just lazy, like tacos from scratch. There was always like one meat day where it was rather like a steak, a pork chop, or a, like chicken, something on the grill.
It's fun.
And then there was always one day a week. I don't know if you guys had this, but in retrospect, I don't think it was smart. But our school had like a charity event where if you went to McDonald's on Wednesday and you said like the school's name, half of whatever you paid went to a charity. But it was a like a literal excuse to go to McDonald's one day a week for like my entire childhood.
Wow.
So I always had one day a week that was McDonald's.
That's amazing.
It was, I wish we didn't do it, like in hindsight.
Right.
It was nuts. 2 days a week were probably Italian food, and then some sort of like a frozen pizza, mac and cheese. Nothing really like healthy. There was no like, now we're just going to have like a salad. It was like a salad with your steak and potatoes. And,
right.
Like, full heart attack.
Man, just Italian families. Some of my best friends grew up to the Tufos.
Yes.
And I went when I was back in Quincy, I went up to the Tufos house for like an Italian, Mrs. Tufo made an Italian dinner. And that's like what I used to always, I would go up there and like Anthony and Dan, my two friends, and Chris, their younger brother, they would like eat a little bit and they would leave. And then Mrs. Tufo would be so happy because I would just sit in there and fucking eat everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The big fat Irish kid. And then their grandparents were next door. And then like I would do that. Like anytime I went over there too, they were like, I eat up, eat. And then I would just sit there just eating for like 2 hours straight.
Did I meet the Tufos when I was in Quincy with you? I would like driving with Mitch around Quincy because Mitch took us on a little driving tour. You're like the mayor of Quincy.
It was
because you just drive around and then someone's just like, hey, it's Mitchell. And they like wave at you and
awesome.
You like pull over and have like a 10-minute conversation with some like random family. And then they're just,
you met Mrs. Tufo.
I met Mrs. Tufo. Okay. And we met like your cousin and like, because we had a rental car and we had New York plates on it. And everyone was just like, hey, what's with the New York plates? Yeah. Like everyone was giving you shit in the same Boston way.
And you were playing Angry Birds and looking at I was like, this is Nick. And they're like, hi, Nick. You're like, hi. From the car.
Rolls the window up.
But it's so strange to
pretty
see.
Pretty close.
Because like if I went like on my block, my old block,
they'd be like,
in Lakewood,
get the fuck out of here, you monster. Chasing you with torches.
Right. And there's maybe like one family I'd recognize if they're still there. But that's like basically it. Like even when we lived there, we weren't like friends with our neighbors.
It's why?
Like a very different way.
I had
don't know.
A similar experience of that today where there's a deli where I get lunch almost every day. Mm-hmm. And then I took a break because when I went vegan, they don't have any vegan bread.
Mm.
And then my friend suggested, it's not that they don't have vegan bread. They don't know if they have vegan bread, which often means they don't.
Yes.
So what I did was asked where their bakery, like what bakery they used. And I called their bakery and they're like, yeah, the wheat bread that we send to that place is vegan.
Oh, nice.
So then recently I started going back. But I go so much that like when I would call and put an order in, they would recognize my voice and be like, oh, this is Kevin, right? And they would know my order. And then today, for the first time, when I called, they're like, hi, Kevin. Like
wow.
Now they know my phone number.
Wow.
That's like the closest I've felt to that. We're like walking into a place and they're
that's
like,
that's amazing.
No. Yeah. So
can I just tell you that I was bummed out as soon as you said vegan bread? I never really came back from it.
Right.
You checked out.
Vegan bread. Jeez, I guess that
dairy
is...
Dairy-free, I guess, yeah.
God.
I had a seven, like...
And no egg? No, well, like...
No egg.
Yeah, no
egg.
Eggs, yeah.
Oh, yep. Man.
And I guess, and the most breads have some sort of, like, it's like... Yeah, I think we were talking to Zooks about this a little bit because he has an egg allergy, so bread is, like, very, very tough for him. Your story made me think of there's... So I used to... When I was broke and working at Activision in my early 20s, I would go to the same 7-Eleven. Now, when I go to the same 7-Eleven all the time, and I would after work, like basically every day, mm-hmm. I would go and get a 40 of Mickey's Fine Malt Liquor. That would be like, is the cheapest way to get drunk, and like I hated my job and my life, and it was just a way to come down. and I just did that.
Now you love your now you love your job and your life.
Yeah. And so I would just, this became a regular habit of mine. I was just getting like a 40 all the time, and you know, for like $1.69. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who worked there started calling me Mickey Man. He'd be like, "Hey, Mickey Man." And that was the point. I was just like, "Fuck, I gotta get my life in order."
Yeah.
And 15 years later.
What games did you make over at Activision?
I didn't make any games when I worked at Activision proper.
Is this the Sopranos one?
So that was when I worked at Seven Studios, when mm-hmm. that game was actually published by maybe Treyarch. I don't remember which company.
Did you code on Pitfall at all?
I did. The game that came out in 1979? No, I didn't work on that one. Game that came out the year before my birth. I didn't, when I worked at Activision, I was just doing customer support, and so it was like a phone rep. I would like answer phone calls from angry parents that they couldn't get an Xbox game to work on their GameCube.
Man, you are so infuriatingly hard to get a response, like to get riled up. So like I bet you people were like, "Fuck you, you piece of shit." Yeah, no, it's okay.
Yeah, it's actually kind of I was a good fit for that job.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, because I'm just like a calm, and I could
a lot of shit,
and they'd also be mad. Yeah, I'm a punching bag. But people would be mad at the company, and then they'd just like take their side, be like, "Yeah, that sucks, man. You got ripped off. That sucks, you know." And like whatever. You're just there as their shield anyway. But the corporate shield anyway. But I would also, after that, I worked as a game tester. And as a game tester, I worked on a strategy game that I don't really remember, the Empire or something. They don't remember the name of it. And I actually
Sopranos, I know.
Yeah. And I briefly worked on the original Call of Duty, just doing game testing. But I don't even have a credit on that. And then when I got into game design, that was another 5 years of my life at a different studio. But anyway.
I have a recognition story. Okay, and I don't like these next few words, okay? When I studied abroad, I used to go to the same bakery every morning to get like a pain au chocolat and like a sandwich with ham and cheese. And then one day, I went twice in one day, and the person recognized me, and she said, "How are you?" And it was the happiest I've ever been.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was
that's
really
cute.
Fun. That's very cute.
I like.
Where were you?
I was in France.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Paris. I should have picked up on some of those clues.
I love when you start stories with, all right, this sounds crazy, I don't want to brag. And then it was always the most like, I don't want to brag, I know this sounds crazy, it's a huge flex.
Yeah.
I got a massage.
But that was just like you were spending time in Paris and you were getting kind of lonely maybe? Or no. Just like there weren't a lot of people you were connecting with?
You seemed sad, right? You know,
that's what it seems like.
No, it definitely does seem that way. But it was also like, I probably was very lonely. But it was also just like, man, I connected with like someone who actually lives here.
Oh,
they,
got it.
They like recognize me. That's right. That's wild. It's as if I have a life here. And I was like, oh, man, this is what it's all about.
Have you guys noticed?
I never studied abroad.
Yeah, me neither. You guys noticed?
Sorry, song.
No, that's fine.
Can't relate.
Can't relate.
Oh, boy.
Like an asshole.
Must be nice. Boy.
Have you guys noticed the word wild is like in the zeitgeist?
Mm,
I feel like everyone's saying, you think you started saying it.
I say it a lot, too.
Check the tapes.
Someone check the tapes. Find the first instance of someone describing something as wild on Doughboys.
I've said it for a long time.
I say that's wild and that's nuts. But I think I say that because I don't have better adjectives to use.
I was looking at Action Boys, and they're saying things are wild.
I say things are wild.
I've heard. Wild just kind of in the zeitgeist. You guys have both said that something was wild today.
I like it.
I started yikes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yikes is pretty good.
I'm gonna start a new one. That's crazy.
The thing there is, I feel like it's kind of, it's like very performative, and I'm not sure everyone can do that in the same way. Okay. Like, it's kind of like the Big Bopper.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard.
Big Bopper needs to make a comeback.
Hello, baby. That's crazy.
The Big Bopper died in right? There wasn't he? The day the music died.
What?
Buddy Holly. You're just learning about this?
No, I mean, what are we?
Richie Valens, Big Bopper, and Buddy Holly.
Have you ever seen La Bamba?
Yes.
No, you haven't. You've seen seven movies.
Do people not know the day the music died anymore?
I think that maybe has fallen out.
Hey, the day when music died was when I stopped taking piano lessons. Hey!
That's true.
We'll take a break. We'll be back to more Doughboys. The Doughboys love moms. And hey, if you're looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life, Aura Frames
are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos.
It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. Why? Because you know how I know? I gave one to mommy.
Wow, Mitch. For Mother's Day?
Not for Mother's Day, just because I'm a good son.
Well, you know, for Mother's Day, I may be thinking of getting my mom a little special something they can enjoy every day of the year. From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life who may also be moms. Every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
It takes about 2 minutes to set up a frame using the Aura app. Add unlimited photos and videos and invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. Why? Because you know what? I got me and my mom on my Aura frame, and also I got Wally and Irma.
Wow. Mitch, Weiger, Aura, all have something in common.
What's that?
We bring joy to moms. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Doughboys at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Do it.
Hey, buddy, it's Weiger and the Spoon Man. Hey, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Wags, you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Let me go ahead and grab my detective looking glass. Mm-hmm. I am on the search for gourmet meals. Oh, there they are.
Yes,
Factor has meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
That's right, Wags. No fuss. No mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Wow.
Head to factormeals.com/doughboys50 and use code doughboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code doughboys50 at factormeals.com/doughboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mitch, how's your social battery right now? Is it drained, bursting with energy? How are you feeling, and how did it get to this level?
Wise, we just did 2 episodes of Doughboy, so my social battery is low.
Well,
I'm shutting down.
Understandably, because mm-hmm. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, Wags, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Me, I've benefited from therapy, as have many people that I love. And, you know, here's the thing I can say. Whether you've been in therapy or not, there are benefits for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it's not just for those who have experienced major trauma.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Doughboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Doughboys. Welcome back to Doughboys. We're here with Yusong and Kevin.
Chef Kevin
of the podcast,
right.
Maybe Don't.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Well, I was going to say, before we before we went to commercial, we talked about the day the music died. If we were to die on this tour, this upcoming tour, what do you think that would be considered?
Is it? It's just the two of us?
Yeah. Yeah, you sung and Emma are spared.
Okay. I mean, depending on when it happens, I would say it would be like September 5th or September 7th. Depends on what day it is.
Wow. The saddest day in September's history.
I mean, maybe if like...
yeah. This the 9/11 of podcasting.
Yeah. No, I mean, like if it was like the two of us and then like Gabrus and Nicole Byer and like PFT or something, you know what I mean? Then it would be like all this podcasting tragedy. We just lost these three titans of podcasting and these two other guys.
Oh, the headline would be something like RSS, more like RIP.
Yeah.
This is a sarcastic news source.
I like when they make punny headlines for tragedies.
Right, yeah. Most obituaries are kind of funny.
More like
Princess Die, more like Princess Dead. You know what? It helped
Princess
everyone.
Princess died.
So we're talking about.
By the way, the two of the people that you named we asked to go on tour, and they told us to fuck off.
But which two? You'll find out. So a restaurant is Del Taco. We haven't reviewed Del Taco, one of my personal favorites, since 2015 with our buddy Alan Yang. It was a semifinalist in this year's Tournament of Champions, but had an underwhelming performance. The chain was founded in 1964 in California's Inland Empire, first outlet in the Mojave Desert. And they, in 2018, they launched their Beyond Menu, went nationwide in 2019, as nationwide as Del Taco is, featuring tacos and burritos with a plant-based meat substitute. Go ahead.
Oh, I can't.
Go ahead.
I thought I was bored by what you were saying, so I was trying to
interject. I'm just getting some bullet points out.
He's trying to shock himself with the aux cord.
I am trying to do it again. It's not working anymore. Yeah. I just want to say that, Nick, I was in the Mojave Desert shooting a little thing for these guys. Nick, I saw an out in the wild tarantula on a rock.
Wow.
Yeah.
An eight-legged freak
out in the wild. Isn't that wild?
What did you do?
That's crazy.
Thank you, Yusong. Thank you, Yusong. You got a big thumbs up from me. But Yusong's right, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's crazy. Wait, so what is the boy? You had another acting job. Look at you. You're all over the place.
This was a decade ago.
Oh, okay. Still, it's work.
That's two. Count them. There was a huge insect crawling up Yusong today.
Oh my god!
As Weiger was walking out of Starbucks to meet us, I was like swiping his chest to get the bugs off of him.
Had the bug lifted him into the air? This time? Yeah.
What kind of insect are we talking?
I don't know, but it was just very, very large.
It looked like an ant on steroids.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
Massive.
Yeah.
Like a big-ass ant. You guys ever seen a house centipede?
No.
It's a fucking nightmare creature.
I'm just going to plug my ears for a little bit.
I don't like that it's called, like, Yusong is plugging his ears. I don't like that it's called the house centipede.
Yeah,
that's
it's like a fucking nasty ass bug. It looks like it's got like just like awful, like disgusting claws you can see.
Oh god. Are they found in houses?
Yeah, you'll just find them in a house. I think they're less common in North America, or at least in California, but we did find one once. We found one in me and Allie in our old shitty apartment. No. And I fucking like clobbered it with a shoe. And pulled the shoe away from the wall, and it was still alive.
Holy shit, God. Fucking asshole.
No, it's like fucking, they're like famously armored. They're like the armadillo of...
Weiger shot it with a gun. Yeah.
but yeah, it fucking took a... it's scary as shit. I think they're actually harmless, but they look like fucking
That's
freaks.
So
you should have let it outside.
Well, I didn't know at the time. We just saw this, and we're like freaked out. But yeah, I try not to kill insects.
You know what would be a cool show?
What?
Bug Battle. You put two bugs up against each other.
I think that's like middle school.
Right. They do kind of like, there are YouTube videos. You will see that of like, they'll put I think hornets are like,
Is it too fucked up that you see a dead animal, like the dead insect? I don't know. Maybe people don't, but Bug Battle is a fun show.
I think people would be upset.
Yeah.
Even though that people will swat away a fly very casually, I think they'd be upset by it being gladiatorial combat.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you could get away with that.
A harmless way to do this is to play Pokemon Go.
That's true.
This isn't even a paid promotion.
Right.
I'm 4 years late to the bandwagon, but it's really, really fun.
The new Pokemon, the new Nintendo Switch Pokemon comes out in just a little bit, Yusong.
This is also true. I mean, I'm just amped. It's just so good. You just walk around, you're spinning Pokestops. catching Pokemon.
Is this Pokemon Go?
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's just like makes any walk better.
Jesus Christ. Is this real?
Yeah.
They have like conventions, right? Like yeah. I think in Grand Park in Chicago, they had like a Pokemon Go Fest.
We were there for, that was during the Headgum Festival and I didn't even know. Aren't you sad for all the Pokemon that we missed while we were there?
Boy, now what a bummer.
Yeah. Chef Kev, are you a gamer at all?
A little bit. I got a PS4. I got a Wii U, not a Switch, for Breath of the Wild. Mm. And then I beat that and then sold it a year ago and got a PS4 for Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man game. And have recently been playing the Tetris Effect and God of War and Red Dead. Popular stuff.
If you get that Switch back, our boy Yusung will fucking take you down. I know. Tetris 99.
Yo. It's just so good.
I'm a pro.
But I'm better at Smash Bros, though. We played this weekend.
Yeah, I'm really bad.
It's like
at Smash
the one
Brothers.
Thing I'm very. I played it religiously as a kid.
I just want to, like.
Wait, who's your main?
Fox.
Oh, man. You probably got some skills.
Nick, did you hear this? They hang out with each other outside of podcasting.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It's pretty weird.
We gotta play. I'd love to play in Smash. It's been a while.
I love it.
You and Chef, Kevin are gonna hang out.
Yeah, I think we're friends now.
No, you're not.
And then I'll hang out with you and be like, "Look, Weiger was wrong."
You were right. Yusung, you were right when you said that.
Oh boy.
Yusung, I know you're a big Chipotle fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's when I feel the most connected to my community is when I go to a Chipotle, because they'll be like, they also ask me, how's your day? Because they recognize me.
Right. You've kind of gone off on this before when we haven't been recording, and I'd say that we got semi-mad at you.
Yeah. You like Chipotle a little too much.
I like Chipotle. Guys, you're basically losing money if you're not on their rewards program. It's really, really good. And I really like it. It's near my house. There's a parking lot, which is so important. I cannot stress the importance of the parking lot. Because LA, it's a nightmare. And it's just, I don't know.
If you're addicted to car culture.
What do you get there?
Okay. Here's my order.
Hey, it's me, Jay. Watch out.
Hey, you got space for my old-time fire truck?
Comedians in cars getting Chipotle. Oh, immediate subscribe. But white rice, pinto beans, chicken. Half mild, half medium, corn. If I'm feeling like I'm a king, guacamole, a little lettuce.
That's you stay away from cheese and sour cream.
No dairy for Lou.
It makes me feel, it gives me the rumblies. I can't do it.
Wow.
And you're getting that as a bowl, right? Not as a burrito.
I'm getting that as a bowl or a burrito, but the burrito is just like you give up on the rest of your day if you don't have that for lunch.
Sometimes, even with the bowl, I am so stuffed that by the time I get home, I'm like, I'm done for the day or my stomach is destroyed.
Yeah.
So you're a Chipotle. I know you're a Chipotle super fan.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, what is your stance on Mexican food? It's maybe a little tricky to eat as a vegan.
Actually, Mexican food, I think, is the best. I think it has the most options for a vegan. Whenever
I was completely wrong.
Yeah. So try again. No, I think whenever I go out with friends and they're like, where do you want to get food? Yeah. I always try to find a Mexican place.
Right.
I just think a veggie burrito is like a very easy thing to order.
Got it.
And just saying like a veggie burrito with no dairy, 99% of Mexican restaurants have that.
Right.
Whereas like Italian restaurants, like different like Asian cuisines, it's a little trickier to find. No, are you shaking your head? No.
No, it's so hard to be a vegetarian or a vegan in China. I'm sure it's like different in like Western metropolitan cities. But it's just like I think it's so much a part of the culture that it's.
Oh really?
Yeah.
But in my mind, that like there's so many good vegetable dishes when I go to Chinese food restaurants or something. It's like rice and then just a mixed vegetable
dish. For sure. Actually, I mean, that is 100% true, but I have this like feeling, and I could be 100% wrong, so I'm just speaking for myself, but it's like I could very much hear my relatives being like, what do you mean you're not eating meat? Like,
sure. Just, like, the social pressures.
Yeah.
And it's also, too, I feel like a lot of times it'll be like, oh, you don't realize this dish has like shrimp paste in it or fish sauce, you know what I mean? You know?
Or at all those places that have the different like delicious steamed vegetables or like a good salad at an Italian restaurant. For me, I want something that like fills me up more.
Right. Yeah.
And a burrito is like delicious to me.
Right. You don't want a Caesar salad and some broccoli raw.
That is the most frustrating thing when a place is like, we have vegan options and they're all like light salads.
Right, right.
It's like, don't say that you have vegan options.
So, okay. Damn. So
yeah,
as...
I got fucking lit right there.
So specifically Del Taco. Have you eaten a Del Taco much before?
This was my very first time.
Your first time. And Yusung, I know you've had Del Taco, but it was only in the context of Doughboys, yes?
Yeah, Emma and I had Del Taco for the first time together because of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are both pretty much Del neophytes. I'm a Del freak. So
Del Close freak too.
Love Del Close.
Everything with Del. Anything that has to do with Del.
Thank you both, Dells. Del Taco Marathon sounds like a weekend at the Weiger household.
I was at Just for Laughs,
yeah,
and Besser was there, and I was like, "How was the first DCM in LA?" And he goes, "Oh, so you didn't go?"
Wow.
And I
that doesn't
I,
sound
I
like
try
Besser.
To backpedal so hard, and
I just, fucked up bad.
I spun out so fast.
We didn't go either. We went to New York.
Yeah, we were somewhere else.
I tried to say that, but the gap of time where he called me out and when I said that, it sounded like a lie.
Right. Needed butts and seats. I'm trying to buy a condo over here. Okay, so you guys are, you haven't had a lot of Del Taco. I've had a ton of it. Mitch, I know, is a fan, even though he prefers Taco Bell, which is a totally fine opinion. So I'll talk through the Beyond menu.
Does make you put you on a higher level of Del Taco person than I.
I say I like it more than you do, and I think that's fine. I think it's okay that we like it different amounts.
You do eat it a crazy amount. You eat it a lot.
I eat it a lot. I eat it too much. I've actually tamped down the amount of Del Taco that I have, but because I was going too frequently. They opened one by my place, by where we live, within walking distance of our apartment. Where
I saw him setting up a tube that said went right to your fucking place.
There was a point where I went 12 times in 8 days.
Holy
and
shit.
I was just like, this
oh
is
my
excessive.
God.
I need
oh
to
my
stop.
God.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, multi-mic, the 7-Eleven.
So here are the Beyond menu items they have right now. The Beyond Avocado Taco. This one is the only one that's actually vegan. Mm-hmm. This is just the Beyond meat, which is crumbled up like taco meat. And avocado, lettuce, and tomatoes in a crunchy shell. The Beyond Taco, which I think was the first thing that they have, and it was kind of their flagship product, which is the same thing, except there's no avocado, and there's hand-grated cheddar cheese instead. Mm-hmm. The Beyond 8-Layer Burrito, which is their standard 8-Layer Burrito. I won't read all 8 layers, but it includes guac and sour cream and all that goodness. And they substitute out, they have a beef version of this. They sub out the beef for ground Beyond meat. And the same thing, the Epic Beyond Cali Burrito, which is basically the Beyond 8-Layer Burrito, except they cram some fries in there and it's bigger. So I got all 4 items.
Wow.
Did you guys also, what did you guys taste?
We got three of the four.
Okay.
And the avocado, we got the Beyond Taco without dairy, so without the cheese. And it was basically identical to the avocado tacos.
You might as well get the avocado.
Yeah.
Unless you don't like avocado.
I also got all 4 items. And Yusung, I just want to say, we have you come on the show, you and Kevin here, and you get 3 of the 4 items.
We got 3 of the 4, and then we got a huge nacho platter.
Yeah, we got nachos.
And churros.
Okay.
All Wait, right. Did you guys get vegan nachos? What did you do?
Yeah, we got a nacho platter without cheese or sour cream, and they put the Beyond meat on
wow.
it.
On it. Okay, right. Interesting.
You know
that's
what?
Nice.
You want us back a little
bit.
Want
above Beyond.
Thank God.
Oh, close one.
Here's my thought with the Beyond. Let's start with the Beyond Taco, which you and I had, Mitch. The one with cheese. I think this is my favorite of the menu.
Wow.
I think this is like the. I think they just the cheese makes the fake meat like sore. It just it covers it up enough where you don't really notice the difference between it and ground beef or ground turkey, which is another option of Del Taco.
You know my rank. I mean, I feel like almost I should I just tell you my rankings?
Yeah, rank them up.
Oh, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
8-layer burrito was first.
Mm-hmm.
The taco, the regular taco, like you were saying, was second.
Yeah.
Cali burrito third. Last place was that avocado taco.
Yeah. I have a similar ranking to you, except I think I put the Beyond Taco first, then the 8-layer burrito, then the Cali burrito, although it's close because I do like the texture that the fries give it. Mm-hmm. And then I have the Beyond Avocado Taco last. The Beyond.
I'll say in those rankings, it's great, good, fine, bad.
I don't know if I'd call the Beyond Avocado Taco bad, because I do appreciate that they actually have a vegan option. Like, you don't have to make any modifications. It's just straight up vegan as it goes. But here's my big note. Instead of avocado, it should be guacamole. And they should spread it more evenly because they give you one paltry little sliver, like an eighth of an avocado, that does not come close to filling that big old shell.
It's awkward in there.
It's very awkward in there, and it's kind of hard. Like, it starts to fall out. If they had just like a layer of guac, like vegan guac, that was just spread across the top, it would be much better.
Yeah. You, Sung, and I were talking about this with, like, I feel so indifferent about hard shell tacos for that exact reason, that I'm such a soft shell loyalist that hard shell is more of like an appetizer, like just eat one small thing before eating, like, or like one, two small ones before eating like an actual meal. And I think that's not that crazy, but I just get so frustrated. And this is someone who like lives and dies by chips. So you think in theory I would love it. It's just like hard to enjoy, I think, when it's just like constantly falling apart. Although I think these were better. But I had that exact frustration with the avocado that was like, you take one bite and then the whole avocado just like falls right out.
Yeah, it's a little clunky.
I like avocado, don't.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm driving you to Del Taco and I want you to say that into the speaker.
My issue
with the avocado taco is just that the Beyond Meat is so on display.
It really is. And then
I don't know if I like the Beyond Meat. When we did the Impossible, every time I've eaten Impossible Meat, I think that it's the one that I'm like, this is crazy. And it tricks me. And I, but the Beyond, I'm not sure how I feel 100%.
Did you have it with cheese? Because I think Weiger has a good point that stuff, and just vegan meats in general, I think tastes so much better when there's a sauce on top of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some sort of thing to kind of hide that it's often drier than like a traditional meat.
Yeah.
I think some sort of like sauce over it distracts it in a helpful way.
My two favorites were the eight layer burrito, which had beans and sour cream and everything in there, and I couldn't really taste the Beyond Meat, but
you just can't get the texture of it.
But the taco there too with the cheese, like you were saying, that did help. But it's just that it's like a umami, or how do you say that? Umami?
Yeah, umami.
You had
umami
burger.
I had it right the first time.
Yeah.
It's like an umami or like a nutty or a mushroomy flavor. There was like some sort of flavor in that Beyond Meat that I don't love.
Just think of what you would say when Mrs. Mitchell invites you to peek in the shower.
Ooh, mommy. The first time I had an Impossible Burger, I was telling this to you, Song, earlier, was at Umami Burger, right?
Yeah.
And this was like right when they started selling it, but the buns weren't vegan and the ketchup had fish oil. So you had to get it as a lettuce wrap without a lot of sauces. Shit.
And it was kind of shitty.
And it ruined Impossible Burgers for me for like a year.
Right.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. 2 for 2. And we're going to, after we drive to Del Taco, we'll cruise on over to Umami.
And let them know.
And shut down two restaurants.
They'll probably just close up shop.
You'll just see the light turn off after he says that.
How did they recover?
I fully agree that the Impossible seems to be a superior product.
Hey, by the way, you're a piece of shit for that mum line. I was trying to think of something to come back at you. You in diapers with Natalie or something. But I just couldn't do it.
Nah, she wouldn't stand for that shit. She's already halfway out the door. Okay, so... the Impossible, I agree with Mitch fully. The Impossible Meat is superior to the Beyond Meat, and anytime I've had both, I always prefer the Impossible. I think the Beyond has a pretty good texture, but when you get that meat in isolation, even with the taco seasoning, it's primarily pea protein, apparently, and it tastes a little cardboardy. It gets a little umami, maybe because it's kind of mushroomy too. It's pretty far from meat when you actually, the flavor out of it is as good as the texture is in simulating it. The burrito is good. Yeah, I just like the crunch from those fries. But which of the burritos did you guys get?
We got the Cali. Epic Beyond Cali burrito.
You got the Cali, the one with the fries in it.
Oh my god,
it was so
this
good.
Was
very
so
good. Yeah,
this obliterated my expectations.
Wow,
like, wow. All right, I thought it was okay, but the fries are very helpful. I also got one.
It does a lot for it.
To be clear, one of them I made a meal and I got a Diet Coke and I got some of those Del Taco fries.
Yeah,
man, the Del Taco fries can be very good.
Crinkle cut fries, they're outstanding.
Yeah,
those are vegan too. They said, right?
I think so.
Yeah, on the website. Great.
Yeah, I would imagine if you're getting the burrito vegan, since you're losing the sour cream and the cheese from the 8-layer burrito, that probably that Cali burrito would be better in a vegan form.
And I go to Taco Bell, I think, like 2 or 3 times a month, probably. And I get the, and I learned about the Taco Bell app on your Jackie Johnson episode, who so highly promoted it.
That's right.
And I feel now I get more adventurous with like modifications, stuff that I wouldn't feel as confident being like, and put Fritos on that and like adding a bunch of different things that are fun. And I think that this Cali burrito was significantly better.
Yeah.
That being said, Taco Bell, a Taco Bell bean burrito is like kind of an easy no-brainer thing where the Cali one is like bigger. It looks better.
It does look better.
It's huge. It's kind of huge.
It's massive. It is huge. Yeah. It's definitely, it's like the equivalent of like 2.5 bean burritos at Taco Bell. And it looks more like something you would get at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. It does not look like a fast food burrito at all.
No.
So that's more of a thing, like if you want to have like a full meal, you would get that. Whereas if you want something kind of like fast and easy, like a Taco Bell bean burrito is probably more what you're shooting for.
I do think, and I don't remember exactly what its price was. I should have written it down or taken a photo of the receipt, but I think it's like $7.99 or something, right? It's pretty expensive.
It's all expensive.
Yeah.
Those four things, because I could get four similar things with beef in them at Del Taco, and it would be like $12 to $15.
Yep, right. Yeah.
And this was $22.
Right.
Which was surprising. Which I get. I mean, it sucks because it should be less money. I mean, people should be eating that way to help the earth out every so often. So it should be like, oh, this is like a cheaper option if you don't want to have beef or something. Here you go. But when it starts, I guess it's going to have this high price. But
I think there's also just like so much demand for it right now that it's kind of a premium price. But keep going.
My thought when I ate all of this food was that with almost everything, I didn't know if this was going to be the case, because when we ate the umami burger with the Impossible Burger, it was hard for me to tell that that was like a plant-based burger.
By the way, they have an Impossible Burger at Islands now, if you have an Islands near you, and it's fucking great.
But with all these items, I could tell that they were like non-meat.
Yeah, that's true.
The one that was the closest was the 8-layer burrito to me, just because there was so much going on. Mm-hmm. But with everything else, I could tell that it was, which is what I, as someone who like, I want to not know. I want to be tricked into it. And I think the only one is probably the 8-layer. If that was like at a party and I had a couple drinks or something, I wouldn't be able to tell.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a party when you're having drinks and they just got a tray of burritos there for people to nosh on.
What the hell's wrong with that?
I don't know.
That sounds awesome. Like a good fucking party to me.
One of the few parties I went to, it was the Herpetology.
It was in
club.
France.
But like someone made this awesome move of getting Taco Bell tacos halfway through, and one of the best parties.
Yeah, you'll be the star of that party.
It was incredible. So
I remember Harris Whittles bought a bunch of McDonald's after a show one night. And it was great. He bought McNuggets and burgers. Nick, were you there?
I wasn't there, no. No, I took off. I went straight home. Put on my Minions PJs.
A lot of New York restaurants.
R.I.P. Harris.
Yes. A lot of New York restaurants.
I know. It was just strange.
All right. Sorry.
I mean, we know.
You usually say it.
I know, but if I'm like, you know, my dad, then you don't have to say like R.I.P. to my dad.
All right.
You know,
sorry. Gone. I won't say it anymore.
No, you should stay it sometimes.
Oh, all right. Boy.
Kevin, R.I.P. Mitch is dead.
Jesus. Don't talk to him at all.
Okay.
R.I.P. this podcast. A lot of New York restaurants will have like all vegan options, but they won't advertise it, what I think is really cool. You only see that like online, or they'll put very small on like the bottom right-hand part of the menu, none of this is actual meat. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? I like that. I think that's
like
a cool sneaky thing. I think some people are annoyed because they're getting like tricked into eating it.
All I can think about is my dad getting summoned from his cloud in heaven, looking down and being like, "What? What the fuck is this podcast?"
By a Slenderman tentacle.
What is this bullshit my son's doing?
I don't know if I've encountered that specifically where I felt like I was being tricked, but there are there's this place, Mondi's Good Burger on yes, Western, nice. Which is, have you been there?
A lot, yeah.
The place is fucking great. And it's all plant-based. It's all vegan, but they have vegan shakes.
Yeah,
you
saw them, I've been, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Vegan shakes, yeah. Like vegan, it's like a Shake Shack style burger and like Shake Shack style fries. I've been there with Natalie. It's fucking dynamite.
That's
it's
a good
fantastic.
Example of like being vegan and eating like complete trash. Right, like, you're yes. eating like a ton of fries, a huge burger, a milkshake. It's like $32.
It's like a spot. Like it's like a spot that people take like Instagram photos at.
It's
like
very it's
super hip.
Yeah. Oh, I've done it. Yeah, it's a that college vegetarian I've heard people say before. Like that, mm-hmm. the idea of like you're eating like shit, but you're like I'm not having any meat. You know?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, well let's we should get to our final thoughts on Del Taco's Beyond. Oh wait, before we do that, tell me about your guys' nachos real quick.
Oh. I mean, they were suggested to us by the person behind the counter. She was so
nice.
She
was really helpful.
She was the one in the first place who told us, like, hey, just so that you know, it's not on the menu, but you can add the Beyond Meat to the nachos.
Right.
And it was literally that, beans, tomatoes, and jalapenos. It was great.
I feel like there's three types of responses as like a as a cashier or as a waiter to being vegan. It's like, this is annoying for me as the waiter. I don't care, or I want to go out of my way to help you.
Yeah.
And she definitely was the last one to where like she could immediately tell when we were like, does this have dairy? Does this have dairy? She's like, okay, so you're vegan. And then suggested, you should try the nachos. We can modify that to be vegan as well.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, like you said, it had like jalapenos, the Beyond Meat kind of scattered over it. And tomato?
And tomato, yeah. And I will say, as someone, like I haven't had that much experience with Beyond Meat, so I personally like could not tell the difference, but I'm not someone who like I'm super super not picky when it comes to food, so I wasn't really thinking about it.
When we got on tour with you, I don't think I've seen you eat.
I think it's weird because I do eat a lot. Maybe it's only at Chipotle. Oh God. Okay, but here like but yeah, the nachos were great. The churros were just like it was a blast. It was just churros. It was very sweet, very fun. And that's what we rounded out a meal.
Before I forget, can I read a text that Yusong sent me?
Okay. Yes, please.
Yes.
So I think as listeners,
this is the rudest thing I've said in like months.
We see a very like soft, loving side of Yusong.
No, I'm fucking.
But and you should be proud. Like as your producer, he will lay down the law when he needs to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was very nervous about trying to find parking here, and I was explaining like I didn't live far from here for like a few years, and it's very difficult. So I don't think I'll be able to find parking. And then he responded, "I park there every week, bitch."
No.
Wow.
No. I said I park there every week, LOL.
I think the bitch was implied though, like
and then the text afterwards was, "I'm sorry, that was incredibly rude. I'm pleasantly surprised by the amount of street parking every week."
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. It was awesome. That's and he was great. So apologetic, but I 100% deserved it. It was very stupid to think that I knew Mitch's street better than Yusong.
Felt terrible.
But it was amazing.
Yeah.
Felt so bad.
Dark Yusong comes out from time to time. Let's get to
Dark
our...
Dark Yusong, that's good. That's scary.
Nightmare creature and Dark Yusong.
The things I've seen in France.
Your story was just about getting a chocolate croissant, wasn't it?
So we'll go around, we'll say our closing arguments on Del Taco's Beyond Menu and give it a rating from 0 to 5 clean forks straight out of Mitch's dishwasher. It's been running right now.
The cycle is almost done, actually.
Okay, before I say this next thing, I need the support of everyone here at this table. Okay. The meal went beyond my expectations. This is not the support that I was asking for.
Nick almost clapped.
Okay, I was about to clap. And then no one else did, so I failed.
No. It was, and now I'm just scared.
No, that was good.
Okay.
That was good.
That was good.
Beyond my expectations. It was really, really good. Like that epic California burrito. Oh my God. Like I want to go back for that burrito.
You want to go back to Cali?
Is that from La Bamba?
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Yusong. I mean, that from La Bamba?
Guys, I'm just kidding. Of course I know where that's from. Anyway, the
tacos.
Hard shell tacos. Not my favorite. I'm a soft shell. I'm the human equivalent of a soft shell. I don't know why. Like, I saw the hard shell photos and we're like, okay, we should probably get those. It seemed like the right way to do it. It was just okay.
Are you in dark Yusong mode?
This is chaos Yusong. That's what we're witnessing. One of his many forms.
What else did we get? The nachos. Pretty good. No complaints there. The jalapenos, not too spicy. I'm not that much of a heat seeker. I'm very, very sensitive to spice. And so, but this was tolerable. And the churros, great. So much fun. Four forks.
Wow,
four forks.
Wow. I want to go back. I want to eat a full burrito because Kevin and I shared one.
Wow.
A lot of fun. Wow. Great review. Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
Mine isn't too different. I was so pleasantly surprised by the Cali burrito. It was bigger than I thought. The ingredients just seemed like fresher and so much more well-prepared than at a Taco Bell or a different Mexican fast food chain restaurant. That alone was a 5 to me. The tacos... Yeah. I have a similar feeling of like, not a huge hard shell, but they definitely weren't bad. I think when we were eating it, I said like, the burrito, amazing. The tacos, they're fine. Mm-hmm. And the nachos definitely didn't blow my mind, but I think we modified probably a lot of the better tasting stuff off of it.
Yeah.
That would have definitely have helped. I originally wanted to say four forks, but as I say it out loud, I now gravitate to, I can do 3.75, right?
That's you can do 3. I mean, I wish you wouldn't, but you can.
Okay, then I'll do 3.5.
Wow.
Oh my God, Kevin, no.
Pure spite.
Kevin, no.
How the fuck you.
I should say four, like as a vegan, I should be promoting as much like vegan option stuff as possible. Is it crazy though that, It is wild having a 5
wild.
And then have it is wild that's having crazy. Something
that's crazy. Yeah. That Yusong, say it with pride.
The burrito. Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted.
It's whispered it again.
Oh boy, wait, the floor is mine just to say that's crazy.
Yes,
that's crazy.
There you go.
Oh boy.
All right, with that performance, I'm back at a 4.
Okay,
hell yeah.
Wow, 4.
All right, I'll go, and then I'll let Mitch close it out, because I think my score is going to be predictable. So here was part of my experience with the Santa Monica Del Taco, which is an outstanding Del Taco. I frequent it all the time. It's great in there. Unfortunately, I walked in, it smelled very bad. I texted Yusong. I think someone puked in this Del Taco. Smells awful, and I saw the dude mopping up. I mean, I'm dining it anyway, but it's unpleasant. So I kind of stuck it out, and I ate my meal there, despite it smelling a lot like puke.
Jesus Christ. The
worker, who I think it was maybe his first day, because he was like kind of like,
sure,
he was like very, you know, like antsy and like didn't know the other employees' names, and he was tasked with mopping it up. Like, he apologized to me like I'm sorry about the smell, sir. He was great. The workers there were very good, but it was just an unfortunate situation that I think they couldn't control. Some fucking freak puked on the floor and then walked out of there. But anyway, so
Jesus.
So that was the only thing I was battling. That said, the food was great, and I really enjoyed it. And I've gotten their Beyond Tacos before. I'll get it when I feel like I'll have whole days or you know, periods where I'll just be like, I'm just eating vegetarian right now, mm-hmm. and so I'll do that as an indulgence. And the Beyond Taco in particular, I think is outstanding. They have a lot of other things you can use to supplement their menu. Yeah,
my dishwasher finished.
Okay, that's good news.
I heard it beeping.
Yeah.
Do you,
just in time.
Just in time for the four for to give out forks.
Very exciting.
Also, that guy who just finished cleaning, like mopping up puke.
Yeah.
And then like after you left, he was like, I'm done. And then he had to like mop up something even grosser.
Like, I fucking nutted under the table.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, is that you nutted in there. And he's like, man, I've had a rough day. And then he apologizes to you. And then when you leave, there's a big load of nut that he has to clean up.
Gonna fucking blast. We had fucking booth at Del Taco like a fucking animal.
You love that place.
It doesn't make me cum. Oh boy.
We had a similar thing.
Things do these days. That's what happens when you're almost 40.
Oh Jesus. Yusung, are your parents going to listen to this episode?
No, absolutely not.
An optometrist is
the nofap, the enemas that were mentioned at the start. Oh my god,
that's a great point. We haven't. You'll record your intros a lot of the time here, but after the episode,
yeah, I usually do it separately.
And I zone out on my phone over there. And you're talking about fucking putting yogurt up in your fucking ass.
I did
shit?
A live read today because we're about to release this episode. So yeah,
it's fucking it's just insane.
Gross.
Intro. Yeah.
Well, don't blame me. Blame John Harvey Kellogg. But anyway,
all right, fair enough.
Five forks.
Wow.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Well, I'm gonna take a page out of Yusung's book here. The Beyond Meat didn't meet my expectations.
Whoa, that was good. That was really
good. I'm showing you the level of support that I wanted.
I was really excited because I think that it would be fun to go and have a little splurge night at Burger King or Del Taco,
right?
And not feel like I'm not eating beef. This is a nice little, it's a fun treat. I can't tell the difference. I'm so down for that. But this didn't really do it for me. The 8-layer burrito was close. And I think that's, but then also like when I go to Del Taco, I want to get like 3 or 4 things. Nick, you know this. Three to six things.
Right.
6 or 7 things. A few things you need a crew.
I know what you mean, because anytime I order at Del Taco, they always like assume it's to go, and then I'd be like, no, I'll have it here.
Yeah,
because like I get so much stuff that they assume I'm getting it for my family or whatever, and not just for one sad man by himself.
No, I have the same thing. That's why I don't go in. I just go through the drive-thru. I appreciate them doing it, and I think that it's great if it first of all, if it helps vegans out, if it helps people who are eating vegetarian, vegan. That's great. I think it's good for the environment. I think that it's good that they're trying it. But it's not, with this one, it wasn't there yet for me. I'm hoping that we're going to try the Burger King Impossible Whopper.
We are.
And I'm hoping that one like really works and tricks me. So for this stuff, I think I go 3.5 forks.
Wow. Four.
Hold on a second. For this specific menu item.
Mm.
For the Beyond Meat menu items, I go 3.5 forks. Still good.
Yes, that is still good.
For Del Taco itself, 5 forks.
Yeah!
Wow.
Del Taco itself gets 5 forks. So, what should I give it here is my question.
Give it 5 forks.
All right, fine. 5 forks.
Oh, my God.
Del Taco remains in the Golden Plate Club as
we're
it was.
The villains.
Previously. Yeah, no, you guys aren't the villains. Four forks is an excellent score.
I mean, Del Taco
happy.
Itself gets 5 forks. Yes. Yes, of course.
Del Taco getting 4 forks for its vegetarian, from the perspective of a vegan, is very, and from Yusung, is very good for me. So I'm very happy. Because I know you're a Del Taco skeptic. So. Yeah.
And I will say, I was a shaky 4, but reflecting on the customer service was like so incredible. She was so helpful. Awesome. That locks it in as a 4.
Wow.
We also had an interesting bathroom experience where like, there was a line of people waiting, and people kept knocking, and then...
You guys were in there together?
Yeah, they were waiting for us. We were, like, brainstorming jokes we could tell.
Yeah, just saying compliments to each other.
But I, like, grabbed you and, like, pointed because the employee then, like, kind of slowly opened the door, and I was like, what if someone's, like, dead?
Oh, yeah.
And then she slowly opened the door and was like, oops, I think it just locked by itself. And I was like,
Yeah. You wanted to see a dead person?
Like they just pull a dead body out of the bathroom.
I mean, that would have been insane.
It would have been a good story for the show. I should have just said it happened.
Yeah, you should have I mean,
just lie.
We would have asked you follow up. You should have asked.
Here, we'll edit that out, and then you just say that there was a dead guy in there.
All right, here we go.
And there was a dead guy, and that actually happened.
Wow. That's crazy. That was our review of Del Taco's Beyond Menu. It's time for a segment. We've got some beverages. We're going to decide if you should pour them down your throat. It's another edition of Drank or Stank. So we had to go vegan again here because of Kevin's dietary restrictions.
Thank you.
I just want to say Beyond Meat sounds kind of scary, too.
It does
like
sound
an
a little
afterlife
bit.
Thing. Yeah,
it sounds like Beyond Meat would have been like a fucking movie Robert Englund started in like 1981.
I like that.
Or like a cool Halloween mansion. Like a haunted mansion.
The Beyond Meat one. So Chef Kevin's got a little bit of a time crunch because of our late start, and he's got to go pick up his lovely GF from the airport. So we're going to speed through the segment and through our email here so that we have enough time.
Can I ask you a question?
Enough time for that.
Are Sean and Hayes going to have you guys on Hollywood Handbook?
You know, I was wondering that.
I'm scared.
I'm going to let them offer. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We won't release this episode until they decide all right, to
so
do it as well.
You can just delete this now.
Mitch, we don't have an episode for Thursday. We have to release this episode.
Oh, fuck.
Thank God.
I guarantee that they will send a text Thursday like, wow, they had Kevin on. Does this mean we have to have Yusung on?
Oh, boy.
And then that will be an honest conversation.
Yeah, that's... You know, Kevin, I think...
Do you want to do it?
One.
I don't think it'll be a supportive environment.
I honestly think it should be fine. I mean, like, it's like, I, you know, if nothing else, like, it gives me something to talk to my therapist about next week, you know?
Yeah, we have content is content.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man. Yusung's coming out of that studio in a body bag.
God.
All right, let's taste test these juices. What do all we right. have here, Yusung?
Okay, so these are three flavors of juices from Press Juicery. All the names are like Greens 1, Greens 2. We have right now Greens 2, Roots 3, and Citrus 2. So Press Juicery is this chain. I certainly know that it's a chain in Los Angeles. I'm not actually sure like how widespread they are, but they're like it's like a boutique-y, high-end, like very LA type of chain. Mm-hmm. But they're supposed to be very healthy, so... yeah, let's
destroy
that a
these
shot.
Bad boys.
I've gotten the citrus too, and like they do like the little like lemon cayenne shots.
I've had those wellness shots, and it feels like a dragon spit into my mouth. Like it was just so spicy. I couldn't even believe how spicy it was.
It is spicy.
I'm having this green one. It is like a putrid green color.
Mm-hmm. The citrus too. Yeah, this is like what the guy mopped up at the Del Taco, basically.
These are some of the like favorites.
Thank you.
On the menu.
Is Weiger, do you know, is Del Taco just a West Coast chain? Because Yusung and I were saying, I haven't seen any in the Midwest, and he hasn't seen any on the East Coast.
I don't know exactly what their territory is, but they are the they're in the top five. I think they're the fifth largest of the Mexican chain restaurants in the U.S., and I think they are largely confined to west of the Mississippi.
Got it.
They've tried to expand some other places and it hasn't really worked out.
So for a green juice, this one is not bad.
It's not bad.
You still get that grassy, greeny taste, but it's a little bit sweet.
I think for me, stuff like this is so much better cold. It makes it drinkable, which this is. Like something like this at a lukewarm temperature, I truly could not stomach.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I don't think that's too controversial, but this is so much easier to drink. Mm-hmm. Knowing that it's cold.
I think like some of the, this one holds your hand because it has like sweet things in there, like apple and I guess lemon, but like some of the other green juices are just like, they don't, you're on your own. Like it tastes pretty bitter.
So what is it that we're having this red one right now?
I gotta say this about the press juice, the little thing on the front, like their little mask, their icon is, it looks like a mosquito. Mm-hmm. But it's a branch or something, right?
I think it's a root.
It's a root.
It does look like a skeeter.
It looks like a skeeter.
Boy, that's a little scary. I think what? The is...
The mosquito is scary?
I just read this Junji Ito fucking manga.
Junji... that artist is blowing up. They're really popular because of their horror like style.
And there's a whole... like, and it's all about like this town that goes mad because of spirals, and there's a chapter on mosquitoes, and it's fucking all this body horror, and it's nightmarish.
I can't read it,
so that's
but
my
that
association.
Awesome. Yeah,
I can lend it to you.
Oh boy,
no, don't do that. He's not gonna sleep. Don't give him the scary manga.
I'll read it at like noon with the lights on.
This one's got a lot of ginger flavor going on.
Yeah, this very kind of astringent.
Strong.
I like. I think I like it more.
I maybe like it more too. Actually,
we're talking about the Roots 3, which is apple, lemon, ginger, and beet.
Yeah,
it's so sweet. This one,
it's interesting. This tastes like a craft cocktail minus the spirit.
It does.
Okay, when we've got this last one, which is this apple, pineapple, lemon, and mint.
Roots 3. This is my favorite one. I've had this before. I think this is delicious.
This is the citrus 2 you're talking about.
Citrus 2.
All right, get citrus 2 open. This one has kind of a apple cider kind of color to it. Mm-hmm. This is like a dehydrated pee. Like you go for a run and you didn't have enough water.
No, that's not. That's fucking nasty. Are you?
Look, that's in the if you pee like
yeah,
this,
that's
this
unhealthy.
Is so unhealthy.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like you're dehydrated.
You got to see Dr. Mario.
No, but this
after
is
that.
Like more than dehydrated. This is insane.
Yeah, this is like you have a disease.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Fine, you have a disease and you went for a run. Kind of like a pineapple juice. Boy, this one is very pineapple-y.
This
is nice. This
I
is delightful.
I give myself a little more on this one. I like it.
This is one is my favorite. I really like pineapple drinks, and so this one is a far first place for me.
Yeah, this just tastes like an indulgence.
This is the least healthy one,
yeah, probably.
But hear me out. Do you know those days where you like your body, you haven't eaten a vegetable in like days, and your body's like, what's wrong with you? The green juices will make you feel like you're doing something right.
Yeah,
right.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think if I was gonna drink or stank rank, I think they're all drinks. I'm not much of a juice guy, but I think I would do the pineapple, then the green, then this ruby red one.
Me too. I'm the same.
I would do the green, the pineapple, and then the root one is a stank. I can't believe it how sweet it is. Oh my
wow,
god!
Wow, too sweet for you.
Wow.
Wait, so you're going green, yellow, red?
Green, yellow, red.
Just like a stoplight.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag reverse stoplight.
Have you guys heard of stoplight parties? Like in college, you wear green if you're single, yellow if you're in between, and red if you're dating someone.
Whoa,
that's wild.
What a shady thing to wear yellow at a party.
Did you ever?
I was
also that just sucks altogether. By the way.
Yeah. I was never invited to these, but I saw that this is so sad. But it's like the anything but clothes parties.
ABCs,
ABCs, where it's like, I'm in a trash bag.
I think it was just always like trash bags.
I think it was trash bags.
God, that sucks.
I don't like these.
I don't like these either.
No one should be having sex.
Yeah,
we're just against that in general. Yeah. Stop, everyone, hose yourselves off. Stop being horny.
We got a lot in common with Mr. Kellogg.
I'd love party tips from the Doughboys is like its own feed.
Stop fucking, stop jacking off, and put some yogurt on my ass. That was Drank or Stank.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
For me, the pine citrus 2 is number 1. No, I didn't.
I'm sorry.
Citrus 2 is number 1. The red is number 2. The what is it? Roots? Roots 3?
Yes.
And then the green is the third one. But I like all of them, and
they're all good.
Drinks, hashtag all three.
Hashtag not a stoplight at all. It's just a random story of my colors.
That was Drank or Stank. Just like a restaurant of your feedback. Let's open up the feedback. This week's email comes to us from Shane I. Shane writes, I grew up as an actual SoCal surfer boy. My mom and dad taught me how to surf at a young age. Nevertheless, I also grew up loving In-N-Out and especially their strawberry shakes. That was until I was 9 years old. My mom bought me an In-N-Out strawberry shake, and when I drank about half of it, my mom told me her and my dad were getting a divorce.
Oh, fuck.
Oh my God.
I recently realized that I haven't had a strawberry shake since. I am now 30 and have come to terms with my parents' divorce. I was just wondering if there's a food and or drink that you cannot emotionally stomach.
Wow.
Oh, my.
That's heavy.
Yeah, that's very heavy. Anything come to mind where it's just like not that you're allergic to it or not that you have an aversion, but just the emotional connection to it is too powerful.
So this isn't a particularly negative emotion, and I don't mean this is like a fuck you. I just mean like it's probably the strongest association. So my parents and I first moved from China. I was about 4 years old and we were in San Francisco for a year. And then my mom and I think we were just like on a walk or something. We saw this kid eating string cheese, like ripping off strands of string cheese. And we were like, holy shit. Like, what is this? That looks so fun and so delicious. That kid's having the time of his life.
Yeah.
And then we ate it. And it was like the worst thing that we've ever had because cheese wasn't a part of our diet at all.
Oh,
so we thought it was like the grossest thing in the world. Hmm. And my mom and I also talk about that. It was just like, what a fucking, that kid got us good. Like, oh God, it was so, yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's,
I mean, you still don't really eat cheese.
No, I still don't really eat cheese. I had like a little bit of a string cheese renaissance. I was like, oh no, this is good. And you can just bite into it. And you're fucking like, don't tell me what to do. I'm just going to bite into it.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, cheese is bad. Yeah.
This is a real string cheese incident for you. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I disagree with you and your mom on that. I love string cheese.
I love it.
I think that with like restaurants that I maybe used to frequent, like with someone I used to date or something sometimes, but not, there's not too much, honestly. For me, I remember being really sick.
Yeah.
And this is as close as I can get. Cause like emotionally, like there's places that I remember like when my father passed away, like they gave me so much
they gave us so much food.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically that we got what are the fruit edible arrangements? Edible arrangements.
Yeah.
We got so many edible arrangements. I specifically remember like eating half chocolate pineapple pieces.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I don't know if like I think I would still like enjoy them if I got them. I don't think that it turned like I think more so like a restaurant I used to frequent with like an ex-girlfriend or something would maybe bother me a little bit more. But even still, I think I could go through it. The thing that I have is I remember my mom made lemon chicken and I was sick and I smelled lemon chicken when I was sick. And I don't like lemon and chicken mixed together. I don't like lemon chicken.
Mm.
That's the one for me because it was a weird thing where I like. I was throwing up sick. I was like had the flu or whatever, and then I smelled that and it was over. I eat it sometimes if it's like certain, like you know if I'm with someone and someone served lemon chicken, I'll eat it, but I don't ever want it.
Mitch, as you were like looking into the oven, was your mom like no peeking?
You song.
Uh-oh. The dark side.
Once this episode ends,
he was checking if there were any oven fries going.
Look at you, like, half committing to this swagger. You don't even know. You're not even sure, like, if it is oven fries.
I know. We recorded that bit a while ago.
You said, you know, I was watching a Dateline the other night, and it was about a Cornell killer.
Wow.
Yes.
Yusong's alma mater.
Yeah, Yusong's alma mater. So I just want to say, I'm keeping my eye on
you. You know what was killer? The prelims season. The tests. Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! That's
at Cornell. You're saying,
yeah.
Did the killer look like he just studied abroad in France?
we probably shouldn't joke about that. That's so sad. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
For me, it's a sad response. I have some like light alcoholism spread throughout my family. So it's like certain drinks.
Right.
That get offered like a specific beer brand or a specific like cocktail. I'm just like, oh yeah, that kind of sucks. I mean, I still drink, but sometimes certain alcohols bum me out.
Just has an association.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you mean.
Yeah, fun uplifting story to close out the show.
Right,
this is how they all end. It's all kind of sad.
And full.
This mood's pretty familiar.
I'll be bummed out by every restaurant that we went to on Doughboys after the show is over.
Fair. Yeah.
I don't really have a good answer for Shane because I don't really have a lot of emotional connections. So if you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you email us at
Doughboys Podcast. That's your full answer?
Or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden or Platinum Plate Club at patreon.com/Doughboys. And Mitch, we're about to go on our Feast Coast tour, which means...
Mm-hmm. What?
We did this last time and you forgot. You're forgetting again.
Send in some drops for each city. Boston, Philly, D.C., New York City.
Could not have said them in a more wrong order.
D.C., Philly, New York, Boston.
There you go, yes. Send those
in. Why don't we say some of our guests? Whatever.
I think we should. We don't have it 100% confirmed.
But we know some.
I thought you meant me, like you wanted me to say your tour dates. D.C., what were they?
Kevin, we do want you to say them.
Say them for our guest. Kevin, say our dates.
Chef Kevin Martell.
We can't say the...
Let's sit on it, because we don't know for sure.
You're so afraid of everything.
Chef Kevin... I'm not afraid of everything. Chef Kevin Martell, Yusong Liu. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Tell everyone again about Maybe Don't.
All right. A podcast is called Maybe Don't. It's a variety show with an opening segment and a closing segment. By the time this is out, our last episode, we held a eulogy for our self-esteem while I played piano. And we just have like honest conversations and sometimes just do bits.
I think if you like Doughboys and Hollywood Handbook, you'd really like it. And if you don't like Doughboys or our Hollywood Handbook, you might like it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell if that's insulting or not.
That's just awesome. Casting a wide net. I get it.
Congrats, guys. That
Congrats
rules.
On the show.
Thank you
We're
so
proud
much.
Of you that
you
rules.
Guys gave Very a lot exciting. Of helpful advice in the early days that
yeah,
I think kind of helped shape,
yeah.
shape the show.
Yeah, you didn't take it. We said, don't do it.
yeah, don't become like
podcasts
us.
Podcasts are going to ruin your life.
thank you so much for having me on. I can't believe I'm on this show. It's a huge honor. I'm so grateful. It was super nice of you guys.
Oh, God bless you. We're happy to have you.
I really try to fight it, but why?
you weren't working. I drove past your place. You're just watching TV.
That'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Till next time, for the artist formerly known as Spoon Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya.
Double.
This week on Doughboys Double,
writer and artist Kate Raft joins for an incredible edible egg episode.
We taste test her signature eggy rice and rank our dirty dozen of the best egg dishes.
Get the Doughboys Double every Tuesday only at patreon.com/doughboys.
Double.
The Doughboys are hitting the road.
See us live in one of these places.
Sunday, September 8th at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Mass, baby.
September 20th at the Queen Elizabeth Theater as part of the Just for Laughs Festival in Toronto, Ontario. Tickets available at headgum.com/live.
Yeah, go get tickets, for God's sakes.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.